Today, featuring the Bible teaching ministry of Pastor Chuck Smith, founder of the Calvary Chapel Movement. This radio program is a chapter-by-chapter, verse-by-verse study through the entire Bible. And on today's edition of The Word for Today, Pastor Chuck continues his message, No Condemnation, as we pick up in Romans chapter 8, verse 1. And now, with today's study, here's Pastor Chuck.
Let's turn to the 8th chapter of Romans. Fasten your seat belts as we take off. In the 7th chapter of the book of Romans, Paul has come to the realization that the law is spiritual. While he was a Pharisee, he thought of the law as physical, intended to control man's outward actions. But when he came to the realization that the law was spiritual, then he realized that the law actually condemned him to death because though he had physically kept the law, spiritually he had violated it. And so he said that his problem was that the law was spiritual and he was carnal. And therefore, he found himself in this dilemma. Whenever he would intend to do good, evil was present with him. And oftentimes, the good that he would do, he didn't do. Many times, the evil that he wouldn't do, he was doing. And yet, he was fighting against his own spirit, his own mind. For with his mind, in his heart, he wanted to serve the law of God. But as Jesus said concerning Peter, the spirit indeed is willing, but the flesh is weak. And I think that all of us have experienced that very same struggle. I have not always done for God the things that I would do for God. It isn't that I'm not willing. It isn't that my spirit is not willing. It's my flesh is weak. And so Paul recognized his problem. And he ends chapter 7 with that cry, O wretched man that I am, who shall deliver me from this life controlled by the body? And then he answers his own question, thanks be unto God through Jesus Christ our Lord is my deliverance. So he comes now into that life of victory that one can experience while still living in the flesh, if he will submit his life to the control of the Spirit. Now, Paul had felt the condemnation of the law. It had condemned him to death because he had violated that spiritual aspect of the law. Though he had never committed adultery, yet he found that he desired his neighbor's wife. And he realized that the desire was sin. Thou shalt not desire thy neighbor's wife or anything that belongs to your neighbor. And he realized that he had violated that. He felt guilty. But now through the work of Jesus Christ, he makes this astounding declaration. There is therefore now no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus, who walked not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. I think that this particular verse has meant more to me than almost any other passage of Scripture, because I lived so many years of my Christian life in constant condemnation. Because though my spirit indeed was willing, my flesh was weak. And week after week, I would promise God that I was going to do better next week. Apologizing, repenting for my failure of the past week, God, next week. I promise I will read the Bible every day. I will pray every day. God, I'm going to do better. And I was always feeling guilty because I was always breaking my vow before God. I was not doing those things that I promised God I would do. And I was constantly feeling condemnation. But there is therefore now no condemnation to those which are in Christ Jesus, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. For the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus has made me free from the law of sin and death. Now, there is a new law that is working in me. God said to Jeremiah, "And I will make a new covenant with the people, no longer written on the tables of stone, but I will write my law in the fleshly tablets of their hearts." That law of the Spirit of life that God has written in my heart. God accepts that which is in my heart, my love for Him, my desires to please and serve Him. And God has written His law in my heart, by which God now directs and controls even my desires, this new life in the Spirit in Christ. If any man be in Christ, he is a new creation. The old things have passed away, and all things become new. And it is interesting how even our desires change so dramatically when we're in Christ. For what the law could not do, in that it was weak through the flesh. He's talking here of the Mosaic law, which he said was holy, just, and good. But what it could not do, what was the limitation of the law of Moses, or what could it not do? The law of Moses could not make a man righteous before God. So what the law could not do, because of my weakness in the flesh, that is because I violated it. So because of the weakness of my flesh, it could not make me righteous before God. But what it could not do, because of the weakness of my own flesh, God sending His own Son in the likeness of sinful flesh, and for sin condemned sin in the flesh. What I could not do for myself through the Mosaic law, that is, have a righteous standing before God, God did for me through sending His Son in the flesh, that the righteousness of the law might be fulfilled in us who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. So it is not fulfilled by us, but it is fulfilled in us by Jesus Christ. For they that are after the flesh do mind the things of the flesh, but they that are after the Spirit, the things of the Spirit. Now, man is composed of three parts, an inferior trinity. He is body, mind, and spirit. The mind being synonymous with the soul, the consciousness of man. The consciousness of man is responsive to whatever controls the man. So if a man is controlled by his body appetites, if a man is living predominantly after the flesh, then he has what is termed here the mind of the flesh, or is mindful of fleshly things or body needs. And this is the state of the natural man apart from Jesus Christ. It is that body consciousness. And you talk to the average person apart from Jesus Christ, and they're going to be talking to you about things that relate to the body. They're going to be talking to you about new recipes, exotic new desserts, or they're going to be talking to you about drinks, or they're going to be talking to you about sex, or things that relate to the body appetites. Because that's where the mind of natural man is, because the body is in control. What he is thinking about constantly are those body needs, the body drives. But when a man is born again by the Spirit of God, and the Spirit then is in control in his life, that man then is concerned with spiritual things, and he's going to be talking about God, his relationship with God, the work of God within his heart, the work of God's Spirit, how to please the Lord, how to serve the Lord, and his conversation is going to be addressed to spiritual things. Now, the man who lives dominated by his body appetites is living like an animal. Because animals are body-controlled beings. They do have a consciousness that is constantly absorbed with their body needs. And any man who lives controlled by his body needs is living as an animal, and that is why the humanists today are so certain that they are related to the animal kingdom. Because they look around and they say, well, look at that baboon over there. All he thinks about is his body needs. He's only concerned in feeding himself and of procreation and so forth. And he looks a little bit like me. I guess I'm related to that baboon. And he feels a close affinity to it because the baboon is living just like he lives. But a man whose spirit has come alive and who is living after the Spirit realizes that he's not related to the animal kingdom, he's related to God. He was made in the image and in the likeness of God, and it was from that image that he fell. But he seeks to relate himself again to God because he is living after the Spirit. And so Paul declares, they that are after the flesh are constantly mindful of the things of the flesh. But they that are after the Spirit then are mindful of the things of the Spirit. But then he went on to declare, the mind of the flesh, or the carnal mind, is death. That is spiritual death, which biblically would be interpreted as separation of man's consciousness from God. Man classifies death as the separation of man's consciousness from his body. When the EEG reads flat for 24 hours, they say, well, there's no brain movement or brain activity at all. Let's pull the plug and see if anything happens on the monitor. And they pull the plug and you begin to have an oxygen deprivation. And so the heart no longer is being pumped artificially. And they watch that monitor because if there is any life at all, then the brain will start searching for oxygen and you'll see a little bit of movement and quickly they'll plug it back in and say, well, we thought he was gone, but there's a slight movement. But if the thing just stays flat, they say, well, he's gone. There's no brain activity. The consciousness is gone. He's just dead. But the Bible says that if your consciousness is separated from God, that is, you don't have a real consciousness of God, that you are dead because your consciousness is separated from God. And so the mind of the flesh is death because it is a consciousness that is separated from God. It's absorbed with the things of my own body and those needs. Whereas the mind of the Spirit is life and peace, spiritual life, which results in that glorious peace. Because the carnal mind or the mind of the flesh is enmity against God. It's opposed to God. Because God has declared that the spirit is superior to the material, and that man ought to be more concerned with the spiritual realm than the material realm. Now, man today, humanism and all, is saying just the opposite. Communism is saying just the opposite. Man ought to be more concerned with the material realm than the spiritual realm. And so the conflict between man and God. Because God tells you that you ought to be putting the spirit first. And so they that have the mind of the flesh find themselves at enmity with God. For the mind of the flesh is not subject to the law of God, and neither indeed can it be. So then, they that are in the flesh cannot please God. This to me is an interesting statement, because so often men are seeking to offer to God the works of their flesh, and seeking that God would accept the works of their flesh. But God will no more accept the works of your flesh than he would Cain's, who sought to offer to God the works of his flesh and was rejected by God. But it's interesting how that we so often find ourselves in that place of seeking to offer to God the works of our flesh. But they that are in the flesh cannot please God. Now, when we get to the book of Revelation, chapter 4, and God is there upon the throne, surrounded by the 24 lesser thrones of the elders, and those cherubim, those angelic beings, are worshiping the eternal God, the Creator, and are saying, "Holy, holy, holy, Lord God Almighty, which is, which was, which is to come." And the elders fall on their faces, taking their golden crowns and casting them before the glassy sea, before the throne of God. And they declare, "Thou art worthy, O Lord, to receive glory and honor, for you have created all things," listen carefully, "and for your pleasure they are and were created." Like it or not, God created you for his own pleasure. That's the basic purpose for your existence. Now, man has twisted that, and he somehow feels that he should live for his own pleasure. But the Bible tells us that if a person is living for their own pleasure, they're really dead while they're still alive. Why? Because you are not answering to the very basic cause of your existence. God created you for his pleasure. Now, careful note of that. Because they that are in the flesh cannot please God. Thus, if you are living in the flesh and after the flesh, your life is doomed to this emptiness and frustration, because you are not answering to God for the very basic purpose of your existence. And so if I want to have a fulfilling life, a meaningful life, I must live after the Spirit. But then Paul goes on to declare to the saints of God, "Ye are not in the flesh, but in the Spirit, if so be that the Spirit of God dwells in you. Now, if any man have not the Spirit of Christ, he is none of his." So those who have been born again, that born again is actually being born of the Spirit. When Nicodemus said, how can a man be born again when he is old? I can't return again to my mother's womb and be born. Jesus said, that which is born of the flesh is flesh, but that which is born of the Spirit is spirit. Don't marvel when I say to you, ye must be born again. Even as you have all had a fleshly birth, we are here. It is just as necessary that you have a spiritual birth. For man by nature is alienated from God. And it is only through the second birth, the spiritual birth, when man's spirit comes alive, that man really understands what God intended when he created man. For God did not intend that man should live after the flesh and be a slave to his flesh, but God intended that man should live and walk after the Spirit. And so you are not in the flesh, but in the Spirit, if the Spirit of God is dwelling in you. But if any man doesn't have the Spirit of Christ, then he is none of his. You really don't belong to him unless you have had that second birth, the spiritual birth, which we term born again. Then you really aren't a part of God or his kingdom.
Discover the story that's still touching lives, A Memoir of Grace by Pastor Chuck Smith, a powerful personal journey through a life shaped by God's hand. In his inspiring biography, Pastor Chuck shares his story, the triumphs, the trials, and the undeniable thread of God's grace through it all. Our prayer is that as you read this book, you will begin to see God's grace at work in your own life, in your past, your present, and even what's still to come. Because with God, everything's a preparation for something else. Don't miss A Memoir of Grace, available from The Word for Today by calling 1-800-272-9673 or by visiting thewordfortoday.org, where you will also find many other resources.
And now may the Lord help you to assimilate that which we have studied. And may he bring to your remembrance those things which he has commanded. And may you be enriched in the knowledge of God and his will and his plan for your life. May the Lord be with you, to bless you, to guide you, and may you be kept by that power of God through faith and trust in him. In Jesus' name.
We'll return with more of our verse-by-verse Bible study in the book of Romans on our next broadcast as Pastor Chuck continues to teach through the Bible, and we do hope you'll make plans to join us. This message has been provided to you by the generous supporters of The Word for Today. For additional information about how you can support this ministry, please visit us online at thewordfortoday.org. There you'll find free message downloads from Pastor Chuck, as well as links to our podcast and other resources to help you grow in your Christian walk. You can also call us at 1-800-272-9673, or you can order a physical copy of today's message by mentioning Romans 8. Again, that phone number is 1-800-272-9673. Our office hours are 8 a.m. to 5 p.m. Pacific Time. If you prefer to write, our mailing address is P.O. Box 8000, Costa Mesa, California, 92628. Join us again next time as Pastor Chuck continues his verse-by-verse study through the Bible. That's right here on the next edition of The Word for Today.
Little country church on the edge of town. People coming every day from miles around, for meetings and for Sunday school. And it's very plain to see, it's not the way.
This program is sponsored by Calvary Chapel of Costa Mesa, California.